Mind and matter. Matter and feelings. How do these things work together? Can mind literally change itself into matter? And once it's material, can those things we call matter change themselves into feeling? What am I talking about here? In this session, session 9, and then one following this one, we're going to be looking at what I call a new alchemy. We're going to delve into the mystery of who and what we are in terms of something which borders on the very ancient view of the ancient alchemists and emerges into the new quantum physical view, which I call new alchemy. So what we're dealing with here is alchemy as a transformative process, something which merges, which assembles, which allows one to see the transformative process taking place. It's the emergence of the butterfly from the cocoon. It's that whole process which is the symbol of alchemy. In fact, when we get into alchemy, we're really looking at, if you will, the very beginnings of science itself. But when we actually go deeper into alchemy, we find that what the alchemists were trying to do as they were attempting to build a science is something that was different than the final goals that science emerged with. Science has emerged with the notion that everything is out there, and that what's out there independent of what's going on in here. That wasn't the way the alchemists saw it at all. The ancient alchemists were interested in changing the out there, but they knew a deep secret that once alchemy changed into chemistry and then into physics and all of that development got lost. And that thing that they saw is that what's happening in here and what's happening out there are much more intimately connected than we ever would have thought possible. In fact, that was the whole point of science, was to get rid of all that mystical mumbo jumbo. I remember stories that I read about Johannes Kepler, who was the German astronomer royal and was one of the discoveries of what are called Kepler's laws, the laws which governed how the planets whirl about the sun. And what wasn't told about Kepler was that his mother was a witch, and he nearly spent all of the fortune or money that he earned as a royal astronomer in Germany to keep her from being burned at the stakes. So Kepler is on that borderline between what we call the old ancient alchemical view of nature and matter and physicality and mind and consciousness and spirituality and the new modern view, which is mostly materialistic, which is basically operational, which is basically mechanism, which is basically cause and effect, which is basically linear time. The ancient alchemical view was much different. It would say not only as above, so below. It would also say as within, so without. And it's these ways of seeing, these ancient alchemical ways of seeing, that got me thinking that if these ancient alchemists had actually studied quantum physics, they wouldn't have called it ancient alchemy. They would have probably called it new alchemy, because they would have seen how it was that their ancient shibboleths, their ancient belief structures, as above, so below, as within, so without, could actually lead to an actual science, which we call today quantum physics. So this is what we're going to be talking about in this first section, mind into matter. Now, when we talk about mind into matter, what are we really talking about? Well, let's begin. In the beginning was the Big Bang. I may have said that before, but remember what I told you about this Big Bang. It was matter, energy, space, and time, and consciousness coming into being at the moment that the Big Bang came into being. But what did it come into being from? You know, we're so used to thinking that there had to be a before if there was an after. And so what was there before the Big Bang? I mean, that's the big question. And scientists don't have any real answer because space, time, matter, and energy weren't there before there was a Big Bang. That, whatever that was, whatever we call it, I call it, you know, the imaginal realm or the realm of non-being. Whatever you want to call that realm would be what we might call today the void, the absolute voidness out of which everything comes into being. You might think of it also as the place of paradox, the place of impossibility, the place where something is alive and dead at exactly the same time, where something is right and left at exactly the same time, where something is believing in God and believing in the devil at exactly the same time, where something is an atheist and a deist at exactly the same time, where something is a man and a woman at exactly the same time. We're looking at a realm of impossibility, a realm of paradox. It is that realm which is at the heart of quantum physics itself, because what quantum physics deals with is the realm of possibilities and all possibilities, not just the goody good ones, but the baddie baddies as well. So this is where everything comes into being, this voidness.